Well, good morning, everyone. I always worry about, you know, whether you're going to think that it's been worth it to come to church or not. But I know that after that, it doesn't really matter what I do now. It's still been worth it, right? So, yeah, very good. Very good. This morning is Family Worship Sunday. And for all of our young people who are here with us, we're glad that you're here. We've actually prepared a little worksheet for you. If you didn't get one of these, you're, you know, pre-elementary or elementary school, they're here and they're in the back. Anybody who didn't get one, just raise your hand. The ushers will come in the balcony. Did everybody get it up there? So here's your chance that you can follow along and take a look at what we're going to do. You're going to be involved in the service today and help in some way, okay? So I've asked three fathers and their boys to come up and join us, okay? So Nate's gonna come, and Mike's gonna come, and Steve's gonna come, and they're gonna come up. The fathers are gonna sit on the chairs here, and the boys are gonna stand around them a little bit, and we're gonna let them watch a video. I don't know how your Christmas season's going. A lady from our church posted on Facebook this week, Santa Claus has been watching all your posts, and this year most of you are getting Bibles and dictionaries, okay? And that's pretty good, right? You know, I'm wearing my first Christmas present. How do you like my shirt? Isn't this nice? My granddaughter went shopping yesterday for me at the thrift store. And she said it was $10, but she said we worked them down. We only paid $5, okay? So it's going to be a good Christmas, right? Listen, we're going to let you guys watch a video. Everybody's going to watch on the screen, but we got a special screen up here for you guys, okay? It's a true story. It's about what happened on Christmas Eve up in Canada a couple years ago. And I just want you to watch it. While you're watching it, just be thinking, oh man, if I was in this video, who would I want to be, all right? So, okay, are you ready? Let's take a look. What happened in Canada?
Oh, hello there! Is that Cohen? What are you looking for Christmas this year, Cohen? A choo-choo train? Ho, ho, ho! A classic! Do you like Thomas? What would Mommy and Daddy like for Christmas?
Big TV.
Yeah, big TV.
Ho, ho, ho! A big TV! You're looking fabulous!
Oh, I need to.
It's okay if you just want to stare at me as well. Ho, ho, ho!
What I need is new socks and underwear.
An Android tablet.
Is that William beside you? And Cameron?
Some Santa boots.
While the guests told their Christmas wishes to good old St. Nick, WestJetters took notes and got ready to shop quick. It was a great rush with the two flights in the air to get all those presents. Not a moment to spare.
Sleigh bells ringing, there's children singing tonight. Lights are brighter, I know it's a beautiful sight. Snowflakes falling in the world, it's snowy and white. Santa's coming to town, and it's coming tonight.
Okay, Thomas, let's get
Christmas cheer and celebrations all across the land.
Thanks for flying with us at WestJet. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the rest of your flight.
Happy faces, we're all so merry and bright. Santa's coming to town.
Was everything ready? We all had to wait for the moment of truth at Carousel 8.
Hello?
never expected what they'd asked of Saint Nick would actually appear. It was all quite a trick. A WestJetter would say, it was more than mere fun. Miracles do happen when we all work as one. We'll give Santa the last word on this most special night.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all, a good flight.
Ho, ho, ho. Well, I know, I see some of you writing it down, what airline you're going to take when you go to Canada, right? Yeah, maybe. What do you think? On Christmas Eve, would you like to go on a trip like that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Tell me your name.
Luke.
Luke. Now, if you had to be anybody in that video, who would you have liked to have been? If you could have been in that video, who did you want to be?
I don't know.
Want to think about it a little bit? Who do you think your dad would want to be? Should we ask him? Nate, who do you want to be?
Santa.
Okay, you want to be Santa. He wants to be most popular, all right? You think about it, okay? How Anderson, who would you like to be in that video?
Probably the people getting the presents.
Oh, which present would you like to have gotten?
Flat-screen TV.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's good. How about you, Steve? Who did you want to be in that video?
I think I'm the socks and underwear guy.
So. Me too. I watched it about 10 times, and every time I go, I bet I would have been the socks and underwear guy. I would have said, oh, what was I thinking, right? Oh, man. Mike, how about you?
I'm like Anderson. I think being a shopper, spending someone else's money sounds like a lot of fun.
That's good. That's good. Who did you want to be?
Santa.
Santa?
The Android tablet,
right?
Definitely Santa, because you must be really, really rich to afford presents for like 500 people.
All right. That's good. Luke, did you think of one? Who did you want to be?
An elf.
The elf, huh? That's good. Well, you know, it's very interesting watching this whole thing, isn't it? I mean, these guys only watched it once. I watched it like 10 times. And it wasn't until about the 10th time that I realized who the really great people were in the video. Think about it. You know, I wanted to be the guy, you know, with the screen, big screen TV and the camera and all these other things. But who were the really great people in the video? Who do you think?
The shoppers,
right? I mean, all those workers from the airline who basically took their time, maybe they got paid for being on the clock, that kind of thing. But what did they do? While everybody else was in the air, they were scrambling and working. They put the packages together, and they put the whole thing together. And at the end of it, do they get any credit? No, nobody. We didn't even think about them, right? That all the things that they did for us to make those people so happy. Well, that's going to be our lesson this morning. That in Christmas time, and all times of life, sometimes all we can think about is what we're going to get, and don't realize that the real fun is in giving to other people. So thanks, you guys, for coming up and being part of all this. That really is the story, isn't it? I mean, how many of you really thought first right off the bat, boy, the greatest people in this whole story are those people who work so hard to get all those gifts together? Yes, I knew there'd be one righteous person here with that, you know. We're always thinking about, you know, what it is that we can get out of everything else, and we miss the real lesson of what Christmas and what giving's really all about. So the theme of our whole series has been, why did Jesus come for Christmas? Why did he come with all of this? Well, it's very simple. He came to give to us. He came to serve us and to love us. So this morning we're in Matthew chapter 20. We're going to read this passage. At the very end of the passage, we read that Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for many. So we know that the real purpose about Christmas, the real reason that Jesus came was to give to us, to help us in every way. So let's take a look at the at the scripture. Before we do that, I just want to remind all the young people who are here about your little handout that you have. And I want to say to you on this handout, you see on the front of it, there's a place for you to write here. It says you can list or draw what you would like to get for Christmas, all right? So if you haven't already told your parents, this would be a good time. Write it down and say, what's what I want? But look down here. It says list or draw what you would like to give to Christmas. And giving, you might say, well, I don't have as much money as my dad or mom have. But you know what? There's a lot of ways. You can give to people by doing something for them. It doesn't cost you any money. You can give by some nice things that you can say to them. And then you can also take what you have, even though you don't have a lot of money, you could buy something small but has a really big meaning for them. So during the service today, will you fill this out? Because at the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to show me what you put, especially what you'd like to give. And if you'll show me what you'd like to give, I got something I'd like to give you. Okay? Is it a deal? Here's where we're going to be. Matthew chapter 20. Take a look at what God's word says to us this morning here. It's called A Mother's Request. The mother of Zebedee's sons, this is James and John, disciples of Jesus, she came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, she asked a favor of him. I don't know whether it was the son's idea, and they said, Mom, you go with us, because probably Jesus will listen to you better, or whether it was just a mom saying, I want the best for my kids. What is it you want? Jesus asked her. She said, well, just grant that one of my two sons, these two sons of mine, that one of them may sit at your right hand and the other may sit at your left hand in your kingdom. She wanted her boys to do well, right? To get the two top spots with Jesus. Then she said, Jesus looked and said, you don't even know what you're asking for. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Basically talking about what's ahead for him in his life, the purpose of his life and what's going to come. You know, he's talking about the crucifixion and the way that he's going to take on the sins of the world, the way he's going to redeem all of our sins and pay for them. And they said, well, with all kinds of confidence, we can, right? We can do this. They have no idea, right? Well, listen, this reminds me, this is a very trivial illustration of all this, reminds me of when I was a Little League baseball coach. You know, when you're playing Little League baseball, the pitcher gets all the attention. The pitcher gets the ball, hold the ball every play. The pitcher's the one who starts everything and makes it happen. So all the focus is on the pitcher. So parents would come to me as the coach and they'd say, could my son pitch? I'd like my little boy to pitch. I'd say, I'm not really sure he's really ready or quite ready to be the pitcher for the team. Well, why not? You let these other kids pitch and your son, he pitches. Well, why can't my son pitch? I said, well, it's a little harder than it looks. So I would take him over. I had a little piece of carpet that I'd cut that was kind of just about the right size of the strike zone. And I put some hooks on it. I'd go over to the fence and I'd hang a carpet on the fence and I'd pace it off and I'd say to the boy with his parents standing, now take the ball and throw it and I want you to hit the carpet and hit it 7 out of 10 times. And then I'd walk away. I'd hear him throw the ball. I'd hear it hit the fence. I'd hear it hit the fence. You know, no, none of them are hitting the carpet because I could hear the thud of the carpet, you know, when they're hitting the right thing. At the end, I'd come back and I'd say, now you need to go home. You didn't hit the carpet but once, okay? I said, you need to go home and hang up that carpet and start preparing yourself for all this. They said, well, what's wrong with that? I said, listen, you don't understand. When you're out there by yourself on that mound with the ball in your hand, everybody's watching you and the pressure's on you. If you can't throw that ball where it's supposed to go, well, it's going to devastate you. Well, here's Jesus and his disciples, and his disciples are going, don't worry, Lord. We can do it, you know. We can handle everything that's coming for you. Jesus looks at them and said, you're not even ready for this. Well, then it goes on, verse 23. Look at this, Matthew. Jesus said to them, you will indeed, talking to the disciples, James and John, he says, you will indeed drink from my cup. But to sit at my left or my right is not for me to grant. These places belong for those for whom the Father has prepared. Now, the truth of the matter is that James and John did go through what Jesus went through. In fact, James was the first martyr in the early church. Herod Agrippa took his life because he was preaching about Jesus and preaching about this new kingdom of God. And so he was there. John, his brother, didn't die a violent death as far as we know, but they did persecute him, and he was put out on the Isle of Patmos, you know, north of Cyprus, and left there to die. And it was there that he wrote the book of Revelation and a number of his letters to all of this. So, you know, they did suffer in these ways with all these things. And so, you know, Jesus is saying, yes, you're going to suffer, but, you know, don't try to put yourself in positions. Only God puts us in positions here. Only God puts us where he wants us to be in these ways. You see, I think one of the great things that happens here with all of this is that we understand that God's the one who puts us in the right spots. Sometimes we kind of wonder, well, how come I'm not doing what these other people are doing? Well, guess what? God's maybe got something else for you to do. Or perhaps you're not quite ready yet. And he's going to take you through some situations to get you ready for all of these things. His way is, he said, be faithful in the small things that I give you to do. And if you're faithful in the small things, I'll give you bigger things to do. I've had the privilege to do some incredible things in my life and ministry over the years. I've been in some wonderful positions and wonderful places. People have come and say, how did you get to do that? I said, well, I never asked to do that. God, the door just opened up. I learned to just be faithful in what God gives me to do. And when the door opens up and the right time comes, guess what? God will put these things in your hands. And you'll see how God will prepare you for all of this. Well, all this request, Jesus didn't go over so well with the rest of the disciples. Look in the next verse, verse 24. When the other ten disciples heard about all this, they were indignant. Like, who are you guys trying to get ahead of us? You know, getting your request in. Bringing your mother in here? Come on. You know, what's going on here? You're trying to get above us? And, you know, and there's always this competition going on. We're always comparing ourselves with other people, always trying to wonder, you know, where we fit in all of these things. And in the world, you know what that's about. Everybody's trying to get up to a higher spot. Everyone's trying to get to a superior position because we'd like to be the boss. We'd like to be the one telling other people what to do. We like to be in charge of all these things. And sometimes it even happens here in the church and in the kingdom of God. There's kind of a pecking order. You know, who's important and who's less important and who's least important. And we kind of, you know, try to figure out how we can climb up the order and be somebody special with all these things. So Jesus looks at this whole situation and says, you guys are just being like normal people here, just trying to get yourself ahead, just thinking about yourselves. Let me give you some instructions about how to handle all of this. And look what he says in verse 25. He calls them together and he says, now listen, you know what the rulers of the Gentiles do, how they lord it over other people and their high officials exercise authority over them. He says, hey, this is the way the world runs. We all know this. You know, you can see it, the people that you look at, how they're in charge and they like being in charge. And everybody wants to be in charge. He says, but look at this, verse 26. He says, not so with you. Those are four pretty powerful words. Just say them with me. Not so with you. In other words, we're called to be different. Jesus is going to show us a different way to look at life and what achievement's all about and what positioning is all about and where we find fulfillment in our life. He says, yeah, everybody else is climbing the ladder. Everyone's trying to get into those power positions, but not so with you. You don't have to do this. That's not the way to live your life. Put yourself in a situation where you can give to other people. You know, I mean, just what we all experienced there watching the video, right? We picked out, yeah, this is who we want to be, right? And Jesus is looking and go, I understand that, but you know what? Not so with you. There's a better way to live. Look at the other people who were there and what they're doing. That's really what I'd like to challenge you to do in these things with that. Jesus says, if you really want to be great, look what he says. Instead, whoever wants to become great, how many of you would like to be great? Come on, let's go. You know, we want to be great at who we are and what we do, right? He says, if you would want to be great, you must be your servant. In the kingdom of God, being great isn't climbing over top of everybody else and somehow, you know, stealing all their best ideas and calling them your ideas and accumulating more money and getting more power. No, he says the greatness in the kingdom of God is to be a servant. And so we talk about being a servant leader. And you know what? It really works. Jim Collins, who's a famous businessman and wrote a great book called From Good to Great, talked about the great companies and successful companies around the world, and he said that often they have a CEO, and he lists like five different qualities of these CEOs, and one of them he says is that most of these companies, they have leaders that have humility, that they have a servant attitude. Even the leaders of these large corporations, he says that's what makes them great. And so Jesus, God's word, gives us this insight that if you really want to be great in your life, be a servant and do the things that a servant does. I don't know. I guess, you know, you might be a little upset. All the parents here, you come home and from the church today and your kids say, I listened to Pastor Jack. And so I've decided in my life I'm going to be a servant. So where do you go to school for that, you know? You're thinking, no. We want you to get a good job, you know. We're spending all this money so you can get a good-paying job and so the people will have to serve you, right? Oh, guess what? To be a servant is not so much the position that you're in, it's the attitude that you show to other people. A servant basically says, I'm here to meet the needs of the people, you know, who are under my responsibility. Oh, our favorite servants are who? The people on Downton Abbey, right? The whole show is about the servants. It's all about what's going on in the basement, right? And the whole focus of this whole thing is to kind of say, how do they respond? Well, they have their struggles and everything else, but you notice that in that whole show, what do? They're always listening. What is it that they need upstairs? And they do it on the way. And so we see this picture. Jesus says, if you want to be great, be a servant to other people. Be attentive. Don't be thinking about, well, what do I want to do and what's good for me? Look around at the people in your life, whether they're in your family, the people that are inside your boundaries, the people who you work with, and think, what could I do that would help them? What could I give to them that would lift up their life? And then Jesus puts another whole category on this. And he says, and whoever wants to be first, numero uno, right? You really want to be number one? Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Now, that word's got very bad connotations in our society, right? Some translations call it a bond servant. And in the ancient world, oftentimes, well, there were some people who were forced into slavery. There were other people who literally sold themselves into slavery. In other words, to either raise money for their family that they wanted to support, or sometimes if they had debts, that instead of going to prison for their debts, they would sell themselves as a bond servant. In other words, sometimes it would be for a certain number of years. They would sell themselves so that they would take the money, pay off their debts so they didn't have to go to prison, and then they would work for those people as part of their agreement. You know, they would be their slave, their bond servant. In fact, if you read the New Testament, the Apostle Paul often refers to himself as being a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He said, I've given myself completely to his service, and whatever he wants me to do, I do that for him. Jesus said, you know, if you want to be first, that's a whole different level that you really go after. And then look at verse 28 as we wrap up this passage. He says, now, you want to see how this is done? Well, just as the Son of Man, Jesus referring to himself, you want to know how this whole issue of being a servant really, really happens? Being a giver instead of a getter? He said, just watch this. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is saying, I'm your example. I'm right here in front of you. You're watching me live my life. I'm your living example. Just do what I do. Follow me in that way. That's what this is all about. And so we look at all this and we say, well, what did Jesus do? Well, number one, he humbled himself, came from God, the position of being God over the whole universe, the creator, the one in charge of all things. He humbled himself and went into the form of a baby and came into the world. I mean, he didn't come in with the attitude of like, what's in it for me? He didn't come in like, I need to be taken care of and be taken. Look where he ended up being born, right? The poverty, the struggle, and everything else. Jesus humbled himself and came into the world, limited himself in a human body like your body and my body. The second thing he did was, a number of different examples, but the biggest one is he knelt down the last night of his life. Remember, and he took the bowl and the towel, and what did he do? He washed the feet of his disciples. And they were shocked. Like, don't be touching my feet. This is what slaves and servants are supposed to do. And Jesus is like, well, this is I'm showing you the same way what I'm doing to you, I want you to do to each other. I want you to treat each other in the same way. So Jesus humbled himself. He showed himself by humbling himself and washing the feet of his own disciples. And then finally, you know, he gave his life on the cross. Humbled himself and kind of said, I'm willing to take on all the sins of the world. I'm willing to do what the Father calls me to do because it's going to save people. It's going to give them life and give them reconnection with God in every way. Man, that's quite a teaching, isn't it? We think about Christmas and kind of think, we're always thinking, well, what am I going to get out of all this? And getting is a big part of our life, right? We're always thinking about ourselves. We're always kind of looking at other people and saying, I wish I had it as good as they do. I wish I had what they have. I wish I had a new shirt like Jack that he got at the thrift store, you know? Like, how come I don't get a shirt like that for $5, you know? We're always comparing all the time with these things. And we think that life is so much easier for everybody else. Jesus says, stop looking at everybody else. Stop comparing yourself to them. You don't have to have what they have, you know? Guess what? Start thinking about what you can be doing to give to other people and to help them, to lift them up. You know, this whole issue of wanting all these things, it's an endless trap. You never get out of this. Look at what the next thing it says here on the screen. Possessions and talent, position, all these things that we're build our lives around and get ourselves into having more and getting higher up and having more, you know, freedom and more respect from other people. Guess what? It's all going to come down. And Jesus said the only thing that's going to last is what we do for others, our relationship with him and how we serve other people. Take another look at this as we jump ahead. Here's the big lie. Somehow that what we do gives us high status and acceptance. But God doesn't look at us that way. Here's the truth. Here's the big truth for the morning. God already sees you for who you are. He likes you as you are. He accepts you. He loves you. And Jesus thought that you're so valuable that he was willing to give himself for you. And you can't get God to love you anymore. This is what God's grace is all about. God already loves you. You don't have to somehow impress him in some of these things. Well, you know, listen, I think what we need to understand is that God wants us to learn how to give of what he's given to us so that we can share it with other people, that we can really do his work in this way. And this Christmas, that's what I'd really like to talk to you about. I mean, that's why we're here on this Sunday, is to understand this whole thing and to see how God wants to work this out in our life. Now, what are you going to have? You get a choice this year. You can even have a me first Christmas. You know, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? This is what I want. I'm so happy for all I got, you know. Me, 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 me. Or you can have what we'll call a real Jesus Christmas. To think, you know, as you kind of walk through these next 2 days, be looking and saying, what do other people need here? What would be best for them? How could I help them? Like I said earlier, you know, we can say things, stop and really ponder and kind of say, somebody coming to my house, somebody in my family, I'm going to say words of encouragement to them. I'm going to stop thinking about the things where they've disappointed me. I'm going to talk to them about the things that I'm really, well, the positive things that I want to talk to them about in their life. Sometimes it's just a matter of doing things and so figuring out what we can do for other people. And then sometimes it's a matter of just, well, spending a little extra money or being focused and giving people something that we know is really going to help them. Now, of course, the real trap is, of course, sometimes we give to people because we're hoping to get something back from the whole thing, right? The more I give, the more I do, the more you'll like me, or the more you'll tell everybody what a wonderful person I am. And then I've just kind of ruined the whole thing because I'm still just thinking about me. Be willing to just wrap the gift, put it together, search for it, package it, and watch it come down, you know, into the baggage claim, and somebody picks it up and opens it up and pleases them, and they'll never know it was you who did it. But you know, there's great joy in all of that. Great joy in what God wants us to do with all of these things. So what is it that makes you smile this Christmas? Is it going to be what you're getting? Or is it going to be what you're giving? You know, Jesus said to us, it's better to give than to receive. And he didn't just say it, he lived it, he showed it, he did it with his life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. No, but that through him the world would be saved. Let's use our lives this year to give life to other people. Let's let the fullness of God's Spirit in us fill us in such a way that we'd want to help other people and extend ourselves and to give even more than they would even expect, and not be waiting for them to somehow applaud us or, you know, be in debt to us, but that they would know that this was truly God's love. Amen? So, how about all the kids out there? How are you doing on your list? And have you got your list worked on? What you were going to give this Christmas? Remember, you know, it could be just words you say at home. It could be something that you do around the house with your mom and dad, your family. And maybe it's something that you might buy them. So maybe take a little bit of your money or find something that really would make your mom smile, make your father smile, maybe do something for your sisters, your siblings, your sisters or your brothers. And if you're willing to think about that, I'm willing to help you, okay? So in a moment, we're going to have a prayer. At the end of our prayer, I'm going to ask any of the young people who are here, if you'd just come and walk up to the front. There's going to be four people. In fact, I'm going to ask them to come up right now. Tom and Lynn and John and Jessica are going to come. And if you'll come up and just show them, bring your little card up and kind of say, this is what I heard what Pastor Jack said, and this is what I'd like to give. This is what I'd like to give somebody this week. If you'll just tell them that, they might give you something, okay? I think they're going to give you something just to encourage you that maybe you could use that to give to other people. And they'll give this back to you, and you can go back to your family and say, I've got something I'm going to share, what I'm going to give to my family, even more than I thought I was going to give. Are you ready for this? So let's stop and pray. Lord God, on this Christmas morning, this Sunday, 2 days before Christmas, we ask that, number one, you'd forgive us for spending so much time thinking about ourselves. Lord, we just confess to you that we're too me-oriented, and we need you to open our eyes. We need you to help us, well, to see you for how you came and lived and gave of yourself, because we want to be like that too. And so we're asking for you to help us, Help us to love other people, to help us to give to them, help us to be generous, and help us not to be drawing the attention to ourselves, but to really love them the way that you love them. So I pray for all the families that are here today. I pray that there'll be special extra love today, tomorrow, Christmas, and all the way through the into the new year. We want to be people who really serve each other and give ourselves for each other. So Jesus, let us follow your example. And we say this in your name. Amen.